morning, Father. We're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity that you've allowed us to come and together, Father, in such a wonderful place, Lord, that you give us, Lord, to be able to come and meet with you, Lord, and to hear your word. Lord, we come with expectation this morning, Lord, to hear from you. And I ask, God, that you'll anoint us now, Lord God, to bring that which you've laid on our hearts, dear God, to be edifying to the people, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Numbers chapter 13. We'll be taking up for where we left off last Sunday, about overcoming. The setting here, we're going to begin at verse 26 and read down through verse 30. The setting is when Moses had sent the 12 spies to spy out the land of Canaan and to bring back a report on the land. And the 10 of the spies came back, and as the scripture says, they brought back an evil report. And two of them, Joshua and Caleb, brought back a good report of the land. But I want to focus on something that Caleb says here. But let's look at verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, unto all the congregation, and shewed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and are very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwelled in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwelled in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. May be seated. Brother Branham said you have to have a battle. And he was in the message speaking, in the message of presuming, he was speaking about this very thing that we read in the scripture and about Joshua and Caleb. And he says you have to have a battle. If everything comes lazy, what are you overcoming? You've got to overcome something. You've got to have some obstacles. And we look at what was said by the spies here, and you know, they didn't just say it to Moses and Aaron. The Bible says they said it to everybody. They said it in front of everybody. And they said, yes, truly, it is, as it said, it was flowing with milk and honey. It's a good land. And it's got great fruit, and they brought back evidence of the fruit, and that they went to nevertheless. And what, you know, there had to be something in their minds when they went out to see the land, when they went out to spy it. And no doubt from what they're saying here, they had no idea that what the opposition they were going to be up against to take the promised land. In their minds, they must not have thought there was going to be any opposition. They must not have thought there was going to be any obstacles. You know, and because they were saying, yeah, it's true, it does overflow with milk and honey, and here's the evidence of the fruit. They got good fruit there, and that nevertheless, there's been some things that we come across that we weren't expecting. You know, God said he gave us the land, gave, being the key word here. And yet, it's overflowed with people that we're going to have to battle against. We never had any idea there was going to be a battle. We thought we were just going to waltz in there and it was just going to all be ours. You know, that must have been what they were thinking when they went. And they no doubt then when they saw the inhabitants of the land, you know, they were overcome with the thought of, oh my goodness, what are we going to do now? We can't take this. Look at all the opposition we've got. Why, these people aren't just going to give up and leave. They've been living here who knows how long. They believe the land belongs to them. You know, and so I think a lot of times when people come to a Christian walk, they think that everything's just going to be handed to them, that there's not going to be any obstacles they got to overcome. There's not going to be a battle. There's not going to be a fight. There's not going to be things that they're going to have to work out for themselves. Everything's just going to be handed to you. But that's not reality. That's a fantasy people's got made up in their minds. Well, if I go to church and I give my tithing and I give my offering and I do these things, why, the Bible said the windows of heaven to be open, and so everything's just going to come just easy come, easy go. It's just going to come so easy for us. But that's not reality, friends, because we're not living in the time of the millennium. The time of the millennium is the time of peace. We're not living in a time of peace right now. This world belongs to the devil, and everything in it belongs to him. And he has control, friends, over the nations. He is the one that's in control of all the leadership of all the nations. Believe that, then tell me, why is it that there are nations that hate Israel with a passion? And it's not just, you say, well, it's the Arab countries, and it's Iran, and it's Iraq, and it's all these other. No, friends, look, there are people in America that don't like Jews, that don't like Israel, and think that we as America shouldn't be their allies and give them or help them in the ways that we do. And to be honest with you, we don't really help them all that much. They're pretty self-sufficient. They really, you know, they don't really need any military help from anybody else. They're well able to handle themselves. So why are they hated? Because that's God's nation. That's God's chosen people. Then it comes right back to on the spiritual side of things. Why are we so hated? Why do we have such a hard time in this world? Because you're God's people. And you're living in Satan's Eden. Brother Branham preached the message, God of this evil age. And he wasn't talking about Jehovah. He was talking about Lucifer. He's the god of this evil age. You don't believe it? Look at all the filth and corruption that not only exists in just our country, but that is, it's encouraged and defended. Don't dare say nothing against them. That's hate speech. Well, if it's in the Bible, that makes it true. So we're going to have a battle. And Brother Branham goes on to say in this message of presuming, he says, see, Joshua and Caleb stilled the people, said, and the people said, we can't take it. We just can't do it. That's all. He said, see, they were looking at the Amalekites. But Joshua and Caleb were looking at the promise. That's the difference. It depends on what you're looking at. So don't look at your situation. Don't look at the situation. Don't look at the circumstances. As Caleb said, we're well able to overcome it. They, you know, the other spies said, there's giants in the land. We look like grasshoppers in their sight. I remember some 25, 26, I don't know how many years ago, before I ever came here to pastor, I was over in North Carolina and had went in to visit a church over there, and Brother Jewel Forney was evangelizing back then, and he happened to be the speaker, you know, they had these two big plants setting up at the end of the platform. Brother Jewel come down there and said, "They said we look like grasshoppers," and he went over like he was taking a bite out of that leaf, and then he said, I'd like to ask them, which one of y'all went up to them giants and said, "Say, what do we look like to you?" See, they didn't. It was their own imaginations. None of them went and asked them, "What do we look like to you?" They said, "We look like grasshoppers in their sight." That was in their own minds what they looked like. But see, Joshua and Caleb, friends, when they went over to the land, Caleb actually said, "Give me that mountain." What mountain was it? It was the mountain that was inhabited by giants. Long necks, they called them. And Caleb said, "That one's mine. I'll take that by myself." We're well able. We're more than able. Why were they well able? Because God had promised it to them. And you are well able, more than able, to overcome everything that you face, every obstacle, every opposition you face in this life. You're more than able to overcome it because we've been given promises of the Lord. And that's what we're to look at, not the situation that we happen to be in at the time or the circumstances that are surrounding us, but we're to look at God has gave us a promise. Amen. Amen. Now, I've quoted this, read this quote many times when I've been speaking on this, but I want to just delve into it a little more. It's where Brother Branham says, "See, God's not going to push us through a little pipe and pull us out the other end," and then said, "Blessed is he that overcometh." You had nothing to overcome. He just pushed you through. You know, in other words, you're going to have things that, you know, we say, "Well, we'll go to the Lord. We'll pray and we'll get on our knees." But Brother Branham says, "But you've got to make decisions for yourself. I've got to make decisions for myself." He says this, "An ever-present water from the rock." He says, he doesn't pick you up right here and set you down over there. You've got, and say, "Now you just go on over here." He doesn't tell you all things. If he did, then what overcoming faith would you have? He said, "There are things now that I have to solve out for myself." I know this, it seems like, wait a minute, I thought Jesus is going to do everything for us. A little bit later on, I don't know if it'll be to this service or another service, but we'll read all the promises that were given in the book of Revelation to the overcomers. And to be considered an overcomer, it can't just be handed to you. See, God gave them the land, but they had to go take it. What did they have? Faith. That's what Joshua and Caleb had, faith that we're well able to overcome them. They had to go forth in battle knowing, "I'm going to win this battle." You know, but Satan comes to you and tries to get you down and point you at the circumstances and point you at the situation you're in. And you know, look, friends, Satan can't read your mind, but he can inject thoughts into your head because he chose the battleground he chose was the mind. But he can't read your thoughts. But friends, look, he's been around a long time. He's been around before man ever existed. And he's had plenty of time since the beginning of man to study man out And friends, he can plant a thought in your head, and he can that quick tell by your reaction whether you're sitting there thinking on it and dwelling on it. And then he'll say, oh, just inject another little bit right in there. Look, you ever been, you know, just doing something, you know, at home, you know, just going about your everyday routines. And while you were, all of a sudden, you think on something. Maybe sometimes it's something from your past, something that torments you, something that when it comes to your mind, it just really just torments you. And then the next thing you know, you get to dwelling on it. And as you dwell on it, you get to feeling worse and worse and worse. And then after a bit, you think, how did I even get on that thought? How did that thought ever get in my mind? How did I get here where I'm at now in my thinking? It's because the devil injected something. And sometimes he doesn't inject it directly. The devil knows you. Sometimes he'll inject a little something here, knowing that how your thoughts run, where you're going to end up at.
That's right.
And he just sits there and watches. And friends, look, you might think, well, I never made a face. I didn't react. I never said a word. I just kept going on about my routine, whatever it was I was doing. But Satan can tell that your mind took a hold of that thought and got to dwelling on it and building on it. And the next thing you know, you're feeling down and defeated. And this happens sometimes in the morning. When you get up and maybe you're taking your morning shower or doing whatever your routine is, you know, and you're going about it and whatever you're doing, and you think, well, man, I ain't even got started on my day yet. Look how bad I'm feeling. And Satan knows what your habits used to be. Maybe when used to, you know, before you came to the Lord, you'd be out mowing the lawn or doing something, you know, that was requiring some exertion, physical exertion on your part, and it's hot outside, you know, you're mowing the grass, you're starting to sweat, and next thing you know, Satan says, boy, wouldn't a cold beer be nice about right now? Because he knew that's what you used to do. And before you know it, that thought will kind of grow a little bit. And then you realize that you've been dwelling on it. You think, well, what in the world am I dwelling on it for? I don't want to take a drink of beer. What in the world am I my thought dwelling on that for? You see, it's something you got to overcome. You say, how do I overcome that? I'll tell you what I used to do when I mowed the lawn, because you know you're out there by yourself and usually nobody will bother you. You know, when my kids were home and little, you know, if somebody called on the phone and said, I need to talk to Brother Jerry, and they'd look out the window and see me mow and say, well, he's not available right now. Not, hey, I'll go out and tell him. Because if I go out and tell him, he might hand it over. Nope, he's not available right now. Nobody will bother you but the devil. Because you're all alone with your thoughts. One of the things I used to do is back then we had the little Walkmans, you know. If you remember those with the little cassette tape and all that stuff, you know. And I'd put earbuds in and I'd listen to a message while I was out walking and mowing. You know, or I'd sing. Friends, look, it don't matter what key you sing in when you're out mowing the lawn. Ain't nobody can hardly hear you over top of that mower anyway. But you're doing something to keep your mind busy. Because the way we're made, when we're doing other things, especially our routine, like even driving down the road, you're only using a portion of your mind. So the rest of your mind's free to roam. And friends, look, science knows that. That's why they got billboards. And that's why the beer companies put up billboards. And restaurants put up billboards. And they'll put them out miles before the exit. Why? Just to see if they can get you hungry by the time you get to that exit. You know, they don't just have their name up. Cracker Barrel's got to have a picture of a breakfast meal up just to get your juices flowing, you know. Look, the devil knows how you work. That's what I'm getting at. He knows how we are. Brother Branham says this. He says, the devil studies you. And he knows your weakness. And that's where he's going to attack you at. And Brother Bam said, that's what you've got to do is, you know your weaknesses too. So fortify those weaknesses with the word. Driving down the road, hey, put on a message or something to listen to. Friends, look, you know, I know there's still some cars out there that got disc players in them. Put on the message. Put on something. You know, a lot of the cars now comes, well, not now, but a few years ago, you know, they used to come with disc players that were actually MP3 players. I mean, I know now it's all USB and Bluetooth and what more and everything, but there's still ways that you can put something across there. Right. When recently, when I took a trip up to Ohio, we left on a Thursday, and what we did was we got out on the road, and Sister Mina took her phone and tuned it in on YouTube to the service up there in Ohio so we could hear the service up there in Ohio while we were driving down the road. And I actually said to somebody back here that was going through something at the time, I said, hey, you get a chance, go listen to this message Brother Samuel preached. I believe it'll help you. And then when we left to come back, we left again on a Thursday. And all this stuff was so that we could be there for, get there on a weekend and then be back here, you know, for the weekend and give me time to get ready for the service that I was going to preach on Sunday and all that. But we tuned back into the service up there for that Thursday. So we listened to something, you know. Last year when my wife and I, we left on a Sunday to go away for our anniversary. And Brother Roger was preaching here. And so, you know, I know we don't stream our services, but Brother Todd gets them up just almost instantly after the service is over. So as soon as this service was over from last November, as soon as it was over and posted online, we signed on online and went there and listened to what Brother Roger preached while we were out driving. Look, friends, there is ways and things you can do. I mean, you say, well, I got an old car, but do you got a smartphone? See, there's things you can do to help you overcome these times when the devil knows that your mind can drift and wander. Look, the Bible says that Joseph, the angel of the Lord, Joseph, you know, the one that married to Mary, that had Jesus. Why, it says the angel of the Lord came to him while he thought on these things. So while his mind, no doubt the devil was trying to interject things about him, and no, because Joseph was thinking, well, maybe I need to put her away privately. You know, I don't want to make a public spectacle of this. You know, maybe I should put her away privately. And he was kind of thinking on those things, but then the angel of the Lord came to him and said, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So God can come to you while you're thinking, if you just open up the door for him. And that's why I've been saying these different things, you know, about singing while you're doing things that, you know, you can sing, you can pray while driving down the road. You know, look, you ain't doing nothing else besides just looking at signs in the road and all the crazy other drivers out there. You know, you could spend some time praying while you're doing it. One fellow said, if you ain't got nothing to pray about, pray for me because I need it. Pray for one another. Friends, look. We're not in this alone. We might have a battle that we battle that maybe our brother, our sister, or whoever else isn't battling the same battle, but we're fighting the same enemy.
That's
right. Friends, look, the devil likes to tear down. He likes to steal things from you. He likes to kill. He likes to tear you down, tear you apart. He wants to upset your home. He wants to tear your home apart. Look, the very first home there ever was in the Garden of Eden. And the devil couldn't stand it. He just could not stand that there was a husband and wife that were getting along. So what did he do? He went down and got in the serpent to go and talk to Eve to try to upset God's family. And he still does that. He'll try to get different ones in the family upset at one another over the, forgive me, the dumbest things. Things that don't mean nothing. It's like we sometimes, people walk around with a chip on their shoulder. Somebody does something, you know, somebody in the family, like, oh my goodness, now I'm highly offended. And they act like the person walked up and punched them in the nose. And the person never even touched them. Just said something. Made a noise. That's the devil. And he knows, friends, look, he know what I'm trying to get across to you is he knows all your buttons. And he's always looking to push them. He would love to upset the church. But how is he going to upset the church? By upsetting the individuals in the church. And friends, look, one of the strongest units in the church, naturally, is families. So the devil tries to upset families. Because if he can get a little tiff going between a couple of members in a family and they've all come to church and sat in the same sanctuary, then the next thing you know, they carry that stuff on into church with them and we're sitting here trying to have service and we've got an Achan on board. Somebody done drug a devil in here with them. Look, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. What I'm trying to let you know is you don't have to do that. Brother Branham says to overcome is to recognize the devil at every one of his tricks. And that's what we've been talking about this morning this whole time is the devil's tricks. Brother Branham goes in the mess of time of decision, he says, said the time had come for Abraham, the great patriarch, servant of God, to make a decision. And the decision was that he was to decide just who his son Isaac, that he had waited 25 years for and had received him as one of the dead, to know that he was called and separated message. And the time had come when he had to make a decision who would be his helpmate to carry out the plan of God. Now, just so you know, let me just bring back to your remembrance. Remember, Sarah got to doubting. And while Sarah doubted, she thought, well, I'll tell you what, I've come up with a plan. And what we'll do is you'll take my maidservant, Hagar, and you'll go have a son with her. And then when she goes to give birth, I'll have her sit on my knees and give birth, and it'll be just like me giving birth. And that will be our son. That'll be how it comes about. And thus Arabs were born. Forgive me, I'm not prejudiced. But the ones that are against Israel, that's how they got here. Those other nations over there in the Middle East that hate Israel, this is how they got there. Because somebody had a plan. But Abraham had to make a decision. See, now is it going to be Ishmael that was born by Hagar? Or is indeed, in fact, God going to give me a son by Sarah, my wife? And he had to make a decision, and then they cast Hagar and Ishmael out, and he made a decision, nope, it's got to be by Sarah. But see, the first decision he made was the wrong decision. And he was a prophet of God. And his first decision was, okay, I'll have a son by Hagar, your maidservant. That was his first decision. It turned out to be the wrong decision. So what did he have to do? Brother Branham says this. He says, God don't make all your decisions. And there's many times God doesn't tell his prophets just what to do. Now, this is where he's talking about Abraham. Because they have to make the decision. If there's no decision that we have to make, just wait every move on God, then there is no overcoming on our part. And sometimes they make the wrong decisions. God's anointed prophets makes the wrong decisions. That's what happened here. God's anointed prophet, Abraham, he made the wrong decision. And it has cost the descendants of Isaac ever since that day. Because remember, Isaac was born, and Isaac and Ishmael were out, and Ishmael was older than him, and Ishmael got to picking on Isaac. And Sarah brings attention to Abraham and says, you know what, look, this woman, this bondswoman and her son, they got to go because he's picking on our boy. He never stopped. They cast him out. But it just carried on. It was like a family thing. They held a grudge and would not let it go. Does any of that sound familiar? Some grudge happening and somebody won't let it go. Oh my, we need to let that stuff go. We can't hang on to that stuff. There'll be no grudges in heaven. So friends, look, what we've got to do, you know who we battle? You know, yeah, it's Satan, but Brother Branham says this. He says, this is the message of how can I overcome? He says, the thing you have to overcome is yourself, your ideal, your thing. Surrender to him. See? What you got over, your idea of it. See, that was one of the things that the scribes and the priests in the days of Jesus, they could not overcome their own idea of how this thing should be. Sure, they could read this, they could read Isaiah, where Isaiah prophesied and said, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child, and his name shall be called Emmanuel," which means God's with us. And they could read that. It was in the law. It was written at that time for them. But see, they, through their religious minds, had made up their own mind on how the Messiah would come and what he was going to do. And you think about it, friends. They were thinking so temporal. Because what they were looking for was he was going to come and deliver them from the Roman rule. That was something so temporal. They could read in the Psalms and read the Psalm, I believe it's Psalms 91, which is a Psalm of Moses, where Moses talks about life being like a blade of grass. Job said it's like a flower. They had all this they could read. To where they say that, you know, life, this life is so short. What in the world does Roman rule mean? There had been empires before the empire of Rome that had rose up and fell. There had never been an empire that ever was in power that didn't somehow come to an end. Usually they destroyed themselves. That's what Rome ended up doing. Rome got an emperor, a leader, that ended up destroying Rome. Burn it. But they were thinking so temporal. God is going to come down and he's going to deliver us from this Roman Empire. Look, he was coming down to deliver us from sin. They could read about the writings of Moses, what he wrote of what happened in the garden. They could read the prophecy that the woman would have a seed that would put his foot on the head of the seed of the serpent. They could read all these things, but somehow in their minds they had made up their own idea, and they couldn't overcome that when the Word stood in flesh right before them. They couldn't overcome their own thoughts to receive God in their midst. Many times we sit on a pew and we've got our own ideas and our own thoughts on things. And God comes down and anoints the preacher and he begins to preach and we can't overcome our own thought on it. And friends, look, I'm not up here to scold you. I'm up here to help you. You instruct your children. You know, we spoke on Thursday night about the Father in the gospel. And Paul talking about that, "I've begotten you to God." And you know, when you instruct your children, sometimes you got to tell them, "Now don't do it this way. Don't do this right here." You're not scolding them. You're trying to help them. When they come out of the bathroom, you know, a kid, and you say, "Did you wash your hands?" You're trying to help them, not give them a hard time. Watch how many times they put on the brakes when you say, "Did you wash your hands?" You're trying to help them. There was a time when people died from that. I can't think of the diseases right now off the top of my head, but you know, dysentery, I think it was, or something like that. You know, they wouldn't wash their hands and be sanitary, you know, and they end up getting sick in their stomach, and next thing you know, they died. So you're trying to help them. It's the same thing when we come in here, and the Lord starts pointing out things, and it's coming across, but you many times we think it's the preacher pointing it out. And he's pointing out things and saying, now don't do this right here. You see how you're acting right here? Don't act that way. That's trying to help you. You're God's children. And it's just God trying to help you. Overcoming. And we have complexes. Yeah. We all got them for one reason or another. Sometimes the ones we maybe got from our youth, other ones we picked up as we went along the way. Some people don't like their pictures taken because they got a complex. And they try to, no, don't take my picture. You try to get a family picture made. Get over here and let's have a family picture made together. And you're like, no. They got a complex. Maybe they don't like how they look. Maybe they think, my goodness. They say a camera adds 10 pounds. How many cameras did they have on me? Maybe they just don't like the way that, maybe they think, well, I just don't take a good picture. I just can't smile right. See, it's complexes. And what I'm getting at is your weaknesses. I'm not saying the devil fights you over getting your picture taken. I'm just trying to show you complexes. And everybody's got their own little things. And the thing about it is, the devil knows it. He knows your complexes. Some of them he gave you. Ever heard somebody say, wait a minute, let me show you my good side, like there is one? Friends, look, people look at you every day. They're taking pictures with their eyes and their mind all the time. What I'm getting at is your complexes really don't mean that much. It's if you focus on them.
That's right.
I read to you last Sunday, out of questions and answers, where Brother Bam was talking about the complex, and he said, if you always want your way like a little brat that wants to always have things your way, turn right around and give everything you got the other way. Way to overcome anything, there's an antidote. You know, when somebody gets bit by a snake and they have to go into the hospital, the doctor always wants to know, what did the snake look like? What kind of snake was it? You know, was it a rattlesnake? Was it a copperhead? Was it, you know, what kind of snake was it? And that's important because there's an antidote that they can give you for that snake bite. But they got to know what snake bit you. Well, we know what snake is biting us. It's that old serpent. The Bible says, that old serpent, the devil. The the dragon. John 16, what time is it? Okay, we got a little more time. John 16, 33 says, Jesus says this, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." He says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you, for I'll be in you, I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world." So the overcomer's in us, and he's already overcome the world. He's already overcome everything. All we got to do is tap into that strength. And you say, "What do you mean by tapping into strength?" Believe. Believe you can do it. This ain't mind over matter. This is faith. Have faith. That's the thing Caleb had. We're more than able. We're well able to overcome. He had faith in what? In the promise of God. First John 4:4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." So you have overcome because he's overcome. You're well able to overcome because the one that overcame lives in you. So what do you got to do? Have faith. Faced with the situation, and you sit there and you think, "I don't know how to solve this thing. I don't know what to do." Have faith that you're going to do the right thing at the right time. You might not be able to sit down and figure it out, but if you have faith and trust in God, friends, you will not go wrong. If you make a wrong move, a wrong decision, you'll be brought right back on track. Why? Because you belong to God, and he's not going to let you be defeated. That's his promise. Be not overcome, Paul says in Romans. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Says somebody says something bad about you, turn around and say something good about them. He said that, and one lady said, "Even about say something good about the devil." She said, "All right, he's a good adversary." He's an adversary, but he's a good adversary. Yeah, friends, look. He's got legions of demons to do his bidding. Minions to do his bidding. And he can send one on you and sick another on me and another on somebody else. Because the devil is not omnipresent like God. In other words, he can't be everywhere. So that's why he's got to use his demons to make it seem like he's everywhere. God is everywhere. Hallelujah. He said he'd be with you. All right, let's stand. I got here today, and you know, I was studying yesterday and had been studying before that and putting together things and going over my notes and that, and then something came to me this morning, and so when I got here, I sat in the back, and I started adding more to the notes and more to the notes, and as I got to add more to the notes, Brother Phil, I thought, there's no way I'm going to get to all this today. But I just had to keep adding because that's when it was coming to me. Yeah. So we've got more on the way. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you today, Lord, for your encouragement. Lord, more than a pep talk, this was a faith talk. Lord, to let us know we can overcome this thing. Lord, we can overcome everything, anything. There's nothing can stand before us. Lord, as the angel of the Lord, you sent him to Brother Branham, and he said that it would come when you pray, nothing would stand before your prayer. Brother Branham said, not even cancer? He said, not even cancer. Nothing can stand before our prayer. I know that was something that was said to the prophet, Lord, but it's in the scripture that anything we ask in your name and believe it, it will happen. That's a promise to us. Hallelujah. And we've got the faith to believe that. Lord, I pray, bless your people today. As you blessed them with the word, I pray may they go forth from here today and continue to rejoice in what was preached today. Lord, and it would help them in the battles that they face, Lord, as on the oncoming week and days that lay ahead. Lord, you always prepare your servants before anything happens, because there's nothing the devil can pull that ever surprise you. He can't lay a trap that you don't know about. And so you always prepare us for them ahead of time, Lord. And you prepare us by your word. And you might not tell us, the devil's got this and this and this and this, and you're going to see this and this. But what you do is you prepare us by giving us what we need to overcome it. Faith. As Jesus asked the one man, said, do you believe? He said, yes, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. And that's what you've been doing today. Now I pray you'll bless your people as they go forth today, Father. May, Lord, you be with them, Lord, in their fellowships and gatherings today and whatever they do, Lord. And may, Lord, it just be a day of peace in their minds, dear God. And I pray that it's been a time of strengthening over this past hour, dear God, that it'll just continue right on and live in them, Father. We pray and ask in Jesus Christ's name.